Good morning, Dr. Matt Hillman. Good morning, School Board Chair Claudia Gonzalez-George.
Good morning.
Good morning, all.
There was a pretty significant meeting last night of the school board, and I would just sort of defer to you. How would you like to begin today?
Well, I want to just thank the community who has really helped us over the last several months. The board did approve $5.79 million worth of reductions last night, $5,792,888 to be exact. And just I want to thank the community who really helped shape the discussion and ensure that their voices were heard. You know, we literally had hundreds of people involved in this process. There were over 80 people who were part of the five budget teams that made the initial recommendations. We had hundreds of kids, high school students, at the two district youth council forums that they held at Northfield High School. 177 people attended our community meeting for public input on April 3rd. The board received 87 emails from interested constituents. And, you know, what I really am impressed about how this dialogue went is that nearly all of that engagement was constructive. And I mean that wholeheartedly. There were very few messages that had an edge to them. They were, we understand what we need to do, and I'm very concerned about this particular proposal. So, you know, people expressed their need for action while also advocating for their views both strongly and respectfully. And I think, you know, governmental agencies around the world could take a look at the process that we just did that was very difficult and learn something. And so just I want to thank the community for, you know, helping us work through this very difficult part. And again, the board did approve, you know, nearly all of the recommendations that were made by those five budget teams. There are three things that I think are significant. First, by far the most feedback that we got was around the proposed middle school schedule change.
Right.
And so the board did vote to reject the six-period day and to retain the seven-period day. Now, that does include a little bit of some caveat. You know, we had had health as part of our – we had health in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. We had added 7th grade a couple of years ago. We're going to eliminate that health class and use that FTE full-time equivalent from that teaching position to support other electives like art, family consumer science, and our STEM classes. So also the middle school media educational assistant position that was going to be reduced as part of that line item was also retained. So for those friends and neighbors who emailed and talked to us about their concern about shifting from a 7 to a 6 period day, the board heard them and they voted to reject the 6 period day and maintain the 7 period day.
Would that have made the day itself shorter, or would you have extended each period?
The day itself, the actual academic day, would have been the exact same. Okay. What it would have been is there just would have been less periods. So each period would have been a little bit longer. There had been some thoughts about having a 20-minute or so homeroom.
Sure.
And so it was a good exploration. In fact, many board members last night expressed that, you know, they felt, you know, reviewing the middle school schedule was a worthy experiment, but just not something that we had enough runway to really look at holistically. So
right.
I think it was, again, just a great discussion and a very passionate discussion, and one that really focused on what do we want the experience for students in middle school to be. And we'll continue that discussion as we move forward. But again, thanks to all the folks who, you know, gave their passionate feedback on that. That was really important for the board to hear, and it clearly helped shape the discussion. The board also approved an alternative to the original recommendation for health services, and so what was approved would retain an RN or an LPN at each school building, but we're going to revert to how we ran it in around 2023, where the district's licensed school nurse, the district's required to have one licensed school nurse, that person will also oversee a building health office. Not optimal. There's some administrative duties that go along with that, but I think if people look at the budget recommendations, that's a theme throughout. Doing the same or less, you know, with fewer people is really what part of the theme was. The other piece that the board modified was they voted to increase the parking fee at Northfield High School from $100 to $250. So those were the reduction recommendations that were either rejected or modified in some way, shape, or form. And so these things are really difficult. We'd prefer not to make any of the reductions, but they're the responsible course of action right now, given the fiscal circumstances and the austerity, you know, that we face, you know, here locally and at the state and the federal levels. We know that people are going to feel sad, they're going to be disappointed, even angry about these, and that is normal, and that's okay. We're losing dedicated professionals who show up every day, you know, doing good things for kids. We're losing some of the flexibility or the margin that we've had for years to be able to respond. We wish we didn't have to do any of it, but you have to act responsibly, and that is what our school board has always done. So I know Claudia, I want Claudia to share from the board perspective how this has gone and some call to actions as well.
Right. So again, to thank the community for all the involvement and the engagement, we, as Matt described, we received lots of communication and interactions where people spoke passionately, they were informed, they called back to times when they were at the middle school, when they were at the high school. So there is a lot of grieving, there is a lot of loss, and we're going to experience that for a while, and the decisions that we made last night are going to have impact for years, you know, as you lose staff members. And other people had called that out, that once you lose a program or a position, it's hard to bring it back. So there's a lot, it's very heavy. It was a very somber situation. And for me, what I have been sharing and reflecting on is that we in Northfield didn't come to a budget reduction because of any error or mismanagement or, you know, misinformation, that we're really being impacted with external forces, you know, inflation, declining enrollment, which we've talked about for a few years now. But primarily because we're a public institution and supported and funded by the state of Minnesota, mm-hmm. we're in this situation now because of underfunding, chronic and persistent years of underfunding in Minnesota and nationwide, but obviously we're speaking about our local situation today. So the fact that right now there's a proposed bill to de-link the funding formula from inflation, and we just got it linked to that so that per pupil funding could increase with inflation. Now there's talk about delinking it, and so that's disappointing, and it has a very real impact in our district.
Yeah. Is that bill in both the House and the Senate right now? Okay.
It's in the Senate bill. The only bill that we've seen, unless it was released yet, we were a little preoccupied yesterday.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen the House bill yet. It is included in the Senate bill. Mm. And, you know, I'd like to remind people, we've said this ad nauseum, right? But if you're tired of hearing me talk about it, we're about halfway there. If for the last 20 years, if the formula had been linked to inflation, this district would have had $5.6 million more in revenue this year.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, that's about the cut that we made. Right.
Yeah,
and
is.
So my point is that we can't choose, or in my opinion, we should be understanding that inflation is something that's going to happen. People in the last 2 years have been, you know, really talking about inflation. We've been talking about inflation for decades because it has continued to erode the buying power of the formula. And that when we erodes the buying power of the formula, 80% of our budget, our staff, you know, and salary and benefits, because we hire people to do good things for kids. So this delinking of the formula is very troubling. I understand the perspective of why the state would do it because of their financial troubles. But again, we know what the results would have been had we had it linked for the last 20 years.
Right. And then for us, just like our community members, our role is to advocate for public education. And just like our community members come at it respectfully and with some understanding, but then also pitch that we need funding. We cannot, like I said last night, build a robust education and infrastructure in our community without the support of the state, because we are funded by the state. Now, in Northfield, we're also fortunate that our community mm-hmm. steps up every time. So we have that. But there are districts whose entire budget is made up from state funding, and
plenty of them.
They are... they're also hurting.
I'm gonna get stuck on this, and I want to drill down. I want to who sponsored that bill, right?
I'll send it to you.
Thanks, I appreciate that, Claudia. I will say this though: you made a pretty impassioned statement at the beginning of the meeting, talking about the needs that students have. And I wish I could have used that entire soundbite in my...
Sure.
Yeah.
And it comes back from that piece of feeling the reality that I'm not in the building, I'm not in the classroom. And so on one hand, that is my role as a school board member to have that perspective. The other hand, as a parent, as a community member, as a former classroom educator, can't help but think about what it takes to educate children today. And it takes those things that I mentioned, licensed nurses, it takes coaches, it takes additional support, it takes mental health. And so what we're doing here is we're already bare bones, and we're having, because we have to, because it's the responsible thing to do. Now we're getting at, well, then we're going to do more with less, less staff. Some people are going part-time. Some people are taking a salary cut. And like I said last night, some people are losing their jobs, and those duties are not being reduced.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan, I'm going to ask you to chime in here a little bit. I don't know, when you were teaching, did you ever go through a budget reduction process?
Yes.
How does that with
I didn't lose my job because of the budget reductions, but I was in a district that went through a budget reduction process. Yes.
I can't imagine it was great for staff morale.
No, because everyone was expecting that pink slip of, am I going to be that one? Because we had to have about 20 teachers eliminated that year because of the budget shortfalls.
Yeah.
And, that was something that just was constantly on everyone's mind because no one knew until it actually happened. And I was in that particular year. That was year one for me in that district. So I thought for sure I was going to be gone because I'm like, well, why wouldn't I be? I'm the, you know, youngest. I have the least seniority, et cetera, you know.
It might have been the cheapest, though, too.
Well, that too. Yep. Oh, I for sure was. So it's definitely very disheartening from a young teacher's perspective. It's disheartening from even senior staff because at the end of the day, no one is completely immune. You might have a greater chance of not getting eliminated because maybe you do have more seniority or tenure or whatever, but that's not a guarantee. So immediately you're starting to look at jobs. Right. And you're starting to think, I better be ready to jump ship if and when this happens. And that is very distracting from you to be able to do your job and to be able to do good things for kids. And even if it doesn't happen, there's still the matter of how many less resources am I going to have in the coming year? How much more work am I now going to have to do to try and compensate for those resources that were lost? You know, if it's a maybe next year you don't have a paraprofessional in your classroom and you have five more students, and now those student and three of those five students have special needs, but you don't have anybody to support you.
Yeah.
So it just can come at you from multiple angles, and it's very difficult.
It's rough
to try.
It's rough on everybody.
Do your job and do it well. You know,
it's tough. This is the state of the world though right now. I mean, this is where we land, right? Mm-hmm. So I, you guys have anything else you want to contribute on this topic?
I think that in moments like this, I mean, I think the listeners can sense, you know, the real somber, the somber conversation, and as it should be, right? I mean, we're not talking about widgets, right? We're talking about human beings, and. Right. Yet we also have this responsibility to make sure that the budget is in good shape, because we could make everybody feel a little bit better next year by not doing the work, and then it would just be worse, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the fact is we lean into discomfort, and it's okay, as I said, to be sad, to be disappointed, and even angry. But we can't stay there.
Right.
We just don't have that luxury because kids are depending on us. And so you know, my call to action, as Claudia said, is to be engaged. Democracy is not a spectator sport.
Exactly right.
And so we have an active legislative action committee that meets every other Saturday. We provide templates, and Claudia can talk a little bit about that. And at the same time, for as much as we are not going to have as we move forward, we do have to embrace the future with optimism. Because in this community, we still have an exceptional staff who are going to lean in and do many good things for kids. So it's appropriate for us to be somber right now. We need to take some time to grieve. And then we need to turn and say, okay, we have to move forward because our students are depending on us. And we will figure it out. There are things that will not be done the same way that they've been done before. And we just have lost some margin. We're losing some key positions. And we're going to move forward together. So it's okay for us to feel this way for a little bit, but they're feeling this way doesn't actually make it better, right? So get involved.
Right.
Join our Legislative Action Committee.
Absolutely.
Let's make sure that our voices are heard in St. Paul and in Washington, D.C., so that you know we are able to have a sense of stability that right now, that's what Ryan talked about. We're having a sense of instability right now.
Yes.
And that's not just here, right? That's everywhere.
Yes.
And we have a choice, right? As citizens of this country, we have a choice. We can either say, eh, whatever, or we can get involved and fight for it.
Absolutely.
And when I say fight for it, I mean so in a productive way, right? Not in a burn it down, you know, worst case social media group kind of way. Let's do this as we know how we can do it as Northfielders. Be productive, be engaged, be kind, right? And still hold people accountable at the same time.
And you had a great statement at the after the vote was over about the process and the way the process went. And I'm going to ask you to invoke that statement, I should say, and
you know, this,
re-invoke.
The process was transparent and open. It allowed people, some people, the criticism was a little too long, right? And I'll take that every day of the week because Ryan talked about his experience where, well, no one knew anything. Well, we knew things because we communicated with our community regularly and invited them to the table to be part of the discussion, to do this really hard thing with people as opposed to people. In many governmental agencies, this kind of decision is just done, and it's a top-down decision. And there's responsibility that the administration and the board have. However, if you look at this process top to bottom, it was open for people to be involved. It was open for people to share their perspective. Anyone who says that they did not know what was on the table, I just don't have patience for that because we talked about this in a variety of different ways, a variety of different times, a variety of different modalities. So when you are open and you are transparent and you bring people to the table, you do have a quality process. And as one of our board members said, a couple of our board members said, other governmental agencies should learn from how we conducted this process. This was real democracy. This was real engagement. We despise the outcome.
Yes.
But we can be proud of the process.
I want to echo that, too. I mean, it's one of the things you said last night was just the simple fact that this was true civil discourse. And that's a rare thing in today's society.
And it's hard work.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is.
It requires discipline
to
have civil discourse.
It requires critical thinking. It requires a certain amount of open-mindedness, and you just got to be willing to stay calm.
Yeah, and it requires a lot of empathy and a lot of just active listening.
Yes, it does.
And so the board didn't make their decision until last night. So we were collecting information and feedback to the very last minute, and even there at the table, people were pulling items and having a discussion about that. So we didn't come in thinking weeks ago we decided. No, it took until the last minute. And it was not an issue of if you didn't email enough or didn't connect with us enough, then we weren't going to consider your item. But what happened is that those conversations spurred discussion and deeper thinking about that particular item that was being presented as well as the items around it.
Right.
So it was very challenging, but also something that needed to happen.
With just a couple of minutes left, Claudia, could you tell us a little bit more about the Legislative Action Committee?
Sure. So that is a committee that many districts across the nation have. Sometimes it's completely parent-led. Sometimes it's a partnership with the school district. In our case, our Legislative Action Committee has a board member or two sometimes, and then Matt facilitates. Right now we're trying to actually hand it off to more community-led facilitation, and so we're excited for the next phase. We meet on a Saturday morning via Zoom just to make that accessible to anyone over the weekend, whether it's schedule or weather. And we will have a template emails that we encourage our members to customize with their own stories. But the template includes the item, the call to action. So it could be this call to not de-link the per pupil formula from inflation, as an example. We also have unfunded mandates. And so there are several templates that anybody could come in at any point. You don't have to have been part of the committee from day one to access those templates and access the information and the up-to-date information on bills and what's happening in the House and the Senate. And we meet for the entire session, so January to May, a couple Saturdays, and encourage each other and hear from Matt and others on how we can best advocate for our needs as public educators and public school members.
And is this open for anyone to participate?
Yeah, we encourage our community to join. We don't record the Zoom meetings so that people can feel just completely open to share and ask. And so anybody can join at any time, and we encourage the members to share out those templates and that information with everybody in their circle.
How do people find that?
So the best thing you could do is connect with Matt at the district. I think that'd just be the easiest. He'll add you to the distribution list, and you'll get an email with the agenda and the Zoom link.
Fantastic. Well, you guys, this was a great conversation about a sad topic. We do appreciate Claudia. You're welcome here anytime.
Thank you.
We love having you.
Thank
on board.
Thank you so much. And I wanted to do one more comment, and that was Ryan was reminding me that, and I've said this before, teachers are magical. They will get it done. They will. You give them 18 kids. You give them 25 kids. They will love and educate those kids. But it's not easy, and they need more resources, and they need more help. So I just want to acknowledge that we're asking people in our district to do more with less, and they will. And also, I don't love that. We need to not have that. We need 2025. We need funding. Yeah.
And I would say, too, to just make sure to recognize the reality.
Yes.
And to extend grace to one another and recognize what they're trying to accomplish with what little they have,
And advocate at the state for more funding.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, advocate for your teachers, advocate for your kids, because by advocating for your teachers, you are advocating for
absolutely.
Your kids.
Thank you.
Indeed. Yeah. So, Dr. Hillman, you get the last word.
Well, we move forward, right? What's next? And so we have done this hard task. We're just grateful for everyone who has stepped forward and, you know, really demonstrated a model of how this can be done as well as it can, while acknowledging that disheartenment that we have to a certain extent about the things that we're losing, but we move forward together. So I just appreciate all the people who are engaged. I appreciate the radio station with the excellent coverage that you and Logan provided so that we were able to get the word out to the community. And we move forward, right? Education does not have a rewind button, right? So the children that come before us next year, we will give them the best effort that we have. We will continue to do the work that we can. And we'll do it with a little bit less, and then we will not be quiet when we talk to the legislature.
All right. Mm-hmm. Nice job. Thanks, everybody. Claudia Gonzalez-George, the chair of the Northfield School Board, and, of course, Dr. Matt Hillman, superintendent of schools. We do appreciate you swinging.